The reading is from Mark chapter 10, verse 13 to 31. You can find it in your pew Bible on page 1024, or it will be on the screen. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. As Jesus started on his way, someone ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad, because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven." The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "Humanly, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Peter said to him, "We have left everything to follow you." "I tell you the truth," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me in the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age: homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, and with them persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning. My name's Nigel Stowe. It's lovely to be here this morning worshipping with you. We have got some good news from that reading, and the good news is that Jesus loves children. Jesus loves children. Helen's just read to us how precious they are. They're not only precious to us, but they're precious to God. And they're an example to us. And this morning we're going to look at childlike faith, looking at how Jesus calls us to trust him as a child trusts. And then we're going to look at how the rich young ruler found that he had an obstacle to faith, to trusting. I don't know how many of you have heard of Charles Blondin, but he was a 19th century French acrobat who was the first man to walk on a tightrope across Niagara Falls. The rope was a quarter of a mile long and was 160 feet above the rapids as they fell down into that great gulf. People came from miles around to watch this fantastic feat. He walked across on this rope several times. The second time he did it on stilts. And then he did it on a bicycle. And then he did it blindfold. And finally, he actually pushed a wheelbarrow full of potatoes across this rope. Well, the crowd oohed and aahed as they watched this amazing feat. And as Blondin approached the other side of the bank with his wheelbarrow full of potatoes, he said to the crowd who were there, "Do you believe I can carry a person across these falls in this barrow?" Well, the crowd enthusiastically shouted, "Yes! You're the greatest tightrope walker who ever lived. We believe you can do it." "Okay," said Blondin, "who's the first to get in?" Faith and belief don't always go hand in hand. The crowd believed he could do it, but they didn't have the faith to be part of it. In their heads, they knew the truth. It was something they witnessed. It was something they'd seen. But in their heart, they were gripped by fear. Fear of losing that security of terra firma. Well, the reading we have from Mark chapter 10 this morning addresses this issue. In the story, there's Jesus is teaching, and the children are being brought to him. And the disciples are somehow frustrated with these children. Maybe they think that Jesus is just there for the adults, and they try to keep the children at bay. But Jesus is furious with them. "Let them come to me," Jesus says. He welcomes them in, and in doing so, he provides the adults with a lesson in faith. "The kingdom of heaven," he says, "belongs to people who have the qualities of children." Now, let's be clear on what those qualities are. We're not talking about childish tantrums and squabbles. We're talking about childlike trust. What are childlike qualities? Well, children are very straightforward. They're humble. They're innocent. They're energetic. They're engaged. They are trusting. They're dependent. Jesus says, unless we become like little children, we can't enter the kingdom of God. Why is that? Well, adults are different. Adults are suspicious. Adults are self-sufficient. Adults want to be independent. Adults are opinionated. Adults are usually right. Does that remind you of somebody you know? God doesn't want us to approach him as an adult with all our self-confidence and all our independence. He wants us to come to him as children do. So how do children come to a parent? They simply come and hold out their hands and ask. They can't pay for anything. They can't earn anything. They can't bargain for anything. They simply trust that their parents will give them what they need. Children don't have an income. They don't have assets. They don't own houses. In actual fact, they don't own anything very much. They come empty-handed. They have nothing with which to negotiate. So this is how God wants us to approach him. This is how he wants us to enter the kingdom of heaven. We don't come to God deserving anything. We can't earn his favor. We cannot buy our way in to the kingdom of God. We simply have to receive that gift of faith that he gives us like a little child. It's quite a simple message. All the good things that we've done, all the things we're proud of, will actually count for nothing. We can only become part of God's family if we become like a little child. If we come asking in faith for the gift of salvation from our Heavenly Father. And if, to illustrate his point, the rich young ruler comes up to Jesus and asks him this very question: "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, he'd been a good boy. In actual fact, I think he'd been better than most of us. He declares that he's kept the whole law. It's what the Jews believed. If you keep the law, if you do what's right, you'll inherit eternal life. And the rich young ruler thought he'd passed that test. But he was wrong. Jesus shows him that he hadn't even kept the first commandment. you remember what that first commandment is? You shall have no other gods before me. Or Jesus said in the New Testament, he updated it, he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. In other words, you've got to make God number one, your top priority. So what was the rich young ruler's problem? What was his God? Well, it was money. So Jesus said to him, it's simple to sort this out. You just need to go and sell everything and give your money to the poor, and then come and follow me. Now, money and wealth is not wrong. Paul says it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. And where God is number one in our life, we will be happy to put aside and sacrifice anything he asks us. It's what the disciples had already done. Peter said, we've left everything to follow you. So does this mean I've got to go and sell everything and give my money away? Well, no, not necessarily. Nicodemus was a rich man, and he wasn't told to sell up. But Jesus says, if you love something more than you love me, then you have to give that up. So what is our security? What do we hold on to, perhaps that we might almost love more than God? Is there something we put our trust in more than we put our trust in God? See, those dependent children come with nothing before God. They do not rely on their own resources. They rely on their parents. So our trust could be in something that we have. Maybe our career, maybe the pension that goes with it, maybe our savings, maybe our home, maybe our family. None of these things are wrong, but if we put them in priority over God, then subtly we have put something in God's place. So here is the difference between belief and faith. Yes, we believe in God, but do we actually put our trust in him? It's great to hear that we've got a Gareth this morning. In my family, I've got two son-in-laws, and they're both called Gareth. And one of those Gareths lives in Portsmouth, and he had a high-powered job for IBM. Great salary, guaranteed rock-solid pension. Everything a young son-in-law should have, really. And he quit his job, and he's given it all up to work in the poorest area of Portsmouth. They live in a council tenement block in the centre, in the worst area of Portsmouth, and he works amongst dysfunctional young boys, helping to bring the news of Jesus Christ to them. He has virtually no income, certainly has no pension. He is trusting God for his current and for his future. So he, my daughter, and their three children are living by faith, not on the security of a good job or on the security of a guaranteed pension. So what does it mean for us to actually put that into practice? See, Jesus promises us that the reward we will get for sacrificing things for him will be 100 times more than we give up. So perhaps there's something in our lives that we need to lay down, to know the truth that God is caring and providing for us as our Heavenly Father. There was a Christian, Pat Pilot, working for MAF, who died for his faith at the hands of the Orca Indians in Ecuador. His name was Jim Elliott, and just before he was murdered, he wrote this in his diary. He said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. He's no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." The rich young ruler wouldn't give up that which he could not keep to gain that which he could not lose. He glimpsed the glory of a Christ-filled life. He was nearly persuaded, but he went away sad because the cost was too high. Will we make God number one in our lives? Will we put our trust squarely and solely in him? Will we put our faith where our belief is? Will we put our fear aside? And will we, as it were, get into God's wheelbarrow? You know, there's a postscript to that Charles Blondin story, because somebody did. accompany him across that tightrope, and it was his manager that took a piggyback ride all the way across the Niagara Falls. He put aside the security of terra firma, and he put his trust in Charles Blondin, who delivered him safely to the other side. Will you do that with God? Will you trust him to carry you through life, not depending on your own resources, but trusting him totally? Let's pray together. Father God, you know those things that are precious to us. You know those things that we cling on to for our security. We pray that you'd forgive us for putting our trust in things other than you. Help us to step out in faith, putting you first in everything, and entering fully into the joy of depending solely on you as our loving God and unfailing Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.